Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I thought I had a lot more questions, but I only have one. So I'm gonna go to that question, and it's a short one. I had saved some questions for another podcast, but I thought they were for this one. But I have one from Dallow Spicer, and he says, "Hey Mike, have you read Love and Rockets? If so, do you recommend it?" I've indirectly read characters that spin off of that, but I've never read anything Love and Rockets. Recently, I've read some Gilbert Hernandez and one of the other brothers, but I didn't follow like Love and Rockets from the beginning. And when I did read the pieces that were tied in, I somewhat enjoyed them, but I didn't, it didn't drive me to like want more, so I never went and read any Love and Rockets. So, would I recommend it? Sure. Just because it's a well thought of property, I just can't personally recommend it. And to tell you the truth, it's been one of those things that I have never had the urge to go and try, along with Strangers in Paradise. I don't know why that is. It just is. 'Cause I like trying everything. I just have never had the urge, or I know a lot of people speak highly of it. I just never have went down that path, nor do I think I will. I mean, things do change. I never thought I'd go down the manga path, and I am reading a few manga here and there. So, who knows? Yeah, it's a good question, and it's a strange one from you, I think. I wonder if you've read it, Dallow. I'd be curious to hear what you think of it. So that was pretty much the only question that I had this week. And as far as purchases, I'm waiting for a box from Aaron Myers, so I'm not going to go over it because I don't remember what was in it. I do remember there was like five issues of Submariner. The first volume, Prince Namor, Submariner, which gets me close to almost completing that collection. That's been long overdue. I always said I was going to complete it. Was one of the first ones I started. Like I got number one like a long time ago, before prices got outrageous. I think I spent like $40 on it. And then yeah, I got distracted. I got a tweet. He was talking about the Falcon miniseries, and I've been posting these things on Twitter, and they seem to be popular because they get retweeted a lot. And it's very strange that I've grown in followers, like exponentially. I've been stuck at, I don't know, like 1600 for like the longest time. And ever since I started posting these posts about things in my collection, it has grown to like over 1700, which I don't understand why. And most of the people that retweeted aren't following me anyway. So I don't know how that algorithm works or how that stuff works. Maybe one person that is following me retweets it, and then he's friends with a gazillion people and they see it. I don't know how all that weirdness works, but it's all very strange. But I have fun doing it because I get to, it's kind of like my database has a feature where it'll show you like one ra it'll come up with one random book every time you open it. And I'm just finding like random books to post on from my collection. And it's fun because there's some back and forth stuff that that a lot of people comment on. And then there's this thing that I don't know how it started, but people post four books, and then people say like, I have four out of four, or 3 out of 4, or 0 out of 4, or 1 out of 4. And then sometimes, like with our inner circle, we like guess. Like if it's Rob, I'll like guess. I'm pretty good with Rob. Not so good with anybody else guessing like what books they have. Maybe it's because I've known Rob pretty long and I know what his styles are. Kirk is always 4 out of 4, almost regardless what I post. But the higher I post in a number, the lower his probability goes. So like, if it's a current issue, or if it's issue 56 rather than number 1, 2, and all the keys, then he's less likely to have it. But he still has most of everything I post. He has like 4 out of 4. Unless it's like Golden Age DC or some DC properties that are not war, then that might change what he posts. But I have been posting the mini series, and ironically enough, like I posted Beauty and the Beast, Hercules, Wolverine, some of those like 4-issue minis that were coming out, Kitty Pryde and Wolverine, Falcon, Gargoyle, all kinds of different ones, and those seem to be like the most popular. And ironically, it's weird that I received a DCBS shipment in the back issue magazine is talking about Marvel 4-issue miniseries, which I think is really strange. But yeah, some guy said that he bought Falcon number 1 and didn't like it. He said had he read it in his younger days, he might have loved it too. And he was curious about why Paul Smith only did issue 1, but and then not the subsequent issues. I don't know any of that story, but I might there. I'll I'm gonna tweet back to him saying I might find the answer in an issue of back, typing slow here, issue magazine this weekend, and I will let you know why there was an artist change if they talk about it. So that takes care of that distraction that I got. That tweet just popped up, and let's see, that's like weird. Is like most of these people that I get questions from are not even following me, and I'm not following them. So I don't know how they see my posts, other than if someone is friends with them and they retweeted or like it, then it might show up on their feed. But it's all strange how that algorithm works. I do know that their algorithms tend to stack people that you reply to and like more than the people that you don't. Because I used to have a list, and that list consisted of like 50 or so people that I wanted to see every night before I go to bed, and I'd read their tweets. Well, now sometimes I'll just scroll through the main thread, which is everybody, because the algorithm it almost like filters out stuff it doesn't think I'm gonna respond to, which is very strange. But I still go through my lists and see what they're posting, my close friends and podcasting friends. But yeah, the Marvel miniseries were a lot of fun, and the initial set that the Wolverine, the Hercules, I think Beauty and the Beast, there might have been a few others. I know Contest of Champions was one of the first ones that I picked up from Marvel, but I all picked those up at a spinner rack at the drugstore, I remember. And so, like, if I see my Wolverine number one, it might have that little spine tick on the three-fourths of the way up, because if they were in a spinner rack, a lot of people had a tendency to bend the book back at that three-quarter spine, as they were thumbing through the books. It would hit that wire and sort of bend, because people would look at the spinner rack and say, okay, the first issue is showing on the spinner rack. What's behind it? And they'd bend it and bend it back. So, yeah, I have one other interesting thing that I want to talk about briefly is Cowboy Bebop. I knew it was canceled, but I always wanted to see it when it came out on Netflix, not the animation, but the live action. And I watched it and I thought it was like phenomenal. So good that I wasn't planning on buying Cowboy Bebop from Titan Comics, but I saw it at the LCS and I did pick up Cowboy Bebop and I told him to add it to my pull list. Because it was really, really good series. It's like sci-fi, pulp, crime noir, with a little bit of Austin Powers because the villains are just crazy. So yeah, I described it to Rob Krieger, who's on the Geek Brunch Retrocast with me, and he liked it. I thought he would. But yeah, I've been watching a lot of TV, and as you will see during one of these reads, I read very few books, and it was because I found another show that I absolutely loved. So yeah, I'll talk about that briefly. So let me get to the weekly reads, because I only had one question. I am going to have to put a poll out there for more questions. And the other thing I was going to talk about was gimmicks, because it seems to be like a hot topic again, 90s gimmicks. And oh, another thing that I bought recently was a Mark Silvestri issue of Ghosts. And I didn't realize until I went to my database that that particular issue had a Todd McFarlane letter in it. So, like, it was like a double special for me, because those of you that know me, I'm like a 90s fanatic with McFarlane and Liefeld. And even though I grew up in the Bronze Age, loving the Bronze Age, which is probably my second decade. The 80s had a lot of good stuff too, but the 90s is where I latched on, and I latched on because I had so much stress in college, working two jobs, going to college full time in engineering, that comics were like the only like thing that would calm me down. Like, if I was spun up about things or thinking about things, I could actually open up one of those 90s comics and just relax, and then get another one and another one. And then Valiant and Image were really clicking with me, and Malibu comics were really clicking with me. So I was like exploring outside of there. And then The Death of Superman, The Spectre, so many great things. The breaking of Batman's back, the little Superman square, shield issues. So many great things happening at that time that it really drove me to love that time period the most, even though the 70s is crazy good. And I've been even getting into like a lot more books from the 90s that I kind of skipped out on, especially in the Marvel, because I've always been a DC guy. But I'm enjoying it. Like right now, I'm reading the 1998-99 version of the relaunch Amazing Spider-Man and Peter Parker, the spectacular Peter Parker Spider-Man by Howard Mackie. He was the writer on both of them, and John Byrne was the artist on Amazing, and JRJR was the artist on Peter Parker. And Bart Sears came in to do a couple of issues, and it spins off the Spider-Woman series where Bart Sears is the artist with John Byrne writing. And I remembered these things really fondly, and I remember a lot of the story plots. It's amazing how much I remembered, but I am having so much fun rereading that material, and that's how I get my money's worth on Marvel Unlimited. I have the issues. As a matter of fact, I bought the last Spider-Woman issue. That one I'm going to have to read in singles, because Spider-Woman, the volume with Maddie, which is Jane Jonah Jameson's niece, she was Spider-Man for a while when Peter threw up his costume and said, "Mary Jane, you know, you're in your modeling career. And I'm gonna get a real job." He got two jobs, one at the Daily Bugle and the other one at Tricor Labs. That's the story that's weird. If you're reading these issues of Spider-Man, you'll find, man, he hardly ever goes to Tricor to work. Like, why haven't they fired him yet? He spends more time at the Daily Bugle. So I don't know what's going on with that. Or if it'll ever be explained. Every like fifth issue, they'll say, "Man, I can't." He'll say, "Man, I can't believe they haven't fired me yet." But yeah, it's cool issues going on, and I've been enjoying that app probably the most of I own all digital services that I know of at least. Comixology Unlimited. I haven't read that one in a while, other than the Archies that I'll be talking about, which are some collected editions. I've been trying to read older Archie ones that I can acquire. Archie's like expensive. I don't know if you guys have looked into it. Especially the ones that have like a sexual cover with Betty and Veronica on it. They are like sky high. Like you're gonna spend like $30, $40 an issue. So it's easier to read it on the app if you have the app. And they just recently loaded the app with a lot of dynamite too. So if you're interested in reading some Vampirella or Panther or items like that, you can go to Comixology Unlimited, and they have their own direct to Comixology Unlimited with Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire and Francesco Francavilla. I mean, they got some big names doing some books, and everything I have read has been pretty good there, if not great. I haven't read one that wasn't a 4 out of 5 that was a Comixology original. And a lot of those are coming out in print through Dark Horse, like We Are Monsters or something like that by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. That's coming out as singles, but most of the Comixology Unlimited books go directly to trade. So you can read the singles though on Comixology Unlimited. But the only time I really pop the apps up is when I'm traveling. And also, in the middle of the night, it's easier for me to, so I don't turn on the lights when Barb's asleep, to just bring up my iPad and just start reading off the app. So that's when most of those digital things get read, is when I'm not at home, and it's easier for me to lug around the iPad, and then also in the middle of the night, which happens a lot. Like ever since I turned like 50, for some reason I get up at 3 a.m. and it takes me a while to wind back down to go back to sleep, and then so it's like 4 a.m. or 4:30, and then I crashed out until about 5:30, and then I get up, I go online and do some things online, maybe 15, 20 minutes, do some Twitter, do some Facebook, and then after that's done, I get on the elliptical and watch whatever show. Right now it's Cowboy Bebop. I'm two episodes away from completing Cowboy Bebop and then deciding what I did start watching the animated that spawned the TV show. And that was good, but it wasn't as good as the live action to me, which is the opposite from what I hear of most people. But I am weird, so I don't know why I'm not a majority thinker. My tastes are like you tell most a lot of people, if you say, "What are your favorite Marvel teams?" they'll say Avengers or X-Men or Fantastic Four. And my favorite Marvel teams are Inhumans, Eternals, Defenders is my number one, and Champions. Those are not the Champions with Nova and all the little kids. I'm talking about the Champions with Hercules, Black Widow, Ghost Rider, Angel, and Iceman. That was my Champions. I love that series. It's such an oddball team. Matter of fact, the Defenders, it all comes back because later on in the Defenders run, they had three X-Men in the Defenders. They had Beast, they had Iceman, they had Angel, and Cloud. I mean, some strange characters. Gargoyle was there. I mean, yeah, that's an interesting run of Defenders. Not my favorite, but it's still like any time in the Defenders, that was my shit. They were always the dysfun I like dysfunctional teams, teams that don't always get along, teams that have a green monster, and a guy who drunk drives and killed some he killed a girl, Nighthawk, because they're just bizarre characters. He's wealthy and he did something terrible. They're characters with a lot of flaws. Multiple personality characters. I mean, they have their issues, the Defenders. It's a very strange group, but they're my favorite. I love every incarnation of them, especially just the main Defenders. But anytime there's a Defenders title, regardless if they change it to like the Defenders that was on the Netflix series, like they did that with Bendis. I think he did the Defenders run. I still will get Defenders, regardless of that. That's my team. I always associate it with the original, though. That's in my mind. So like I always have strange tastes. Like everybody will say that like Spider-Man No Way Home is probably the best Spider-Man movie they've ever seen. Mine is amazing. I mean, not amazing, but Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire. That's my favorite Spider-Man. That's my favorite Spider-Man series. One of my favorite Marvel movies is Iron Man 3. Nobody likes it. I love that movie with the Mandarin and not really being the Mandarin and the little kid and Iron Man taking him like as a little sidekick kind of thing. I love that. That is my favorite, one of my favorite Marvel movies. That's not in anybody's top movies. It's usually Captain America, but not mine. It's Iron Man 3. I love Superman 3. I love that. It feels like a Bronze Age comic by Kerry Bates. It's so outrageous and out there. The plot just draws me in. You have Superman fighting Clark Kent. You have Superman having sex with someone other than Lois Lane because he's exposed to a kryptonite that has like a small element of tar in it. I freaking love it. So like I know I have different tastes. I know that I love like the Eternals movie. That movie like lit a fire under my ass. I couldn't stop talking about it for a week. And not a lot of people see it like that. So I realize I'm different, and but I've always like navigated to C and D list characters, just always. With the exception of a couple, like I think Daredevil's mainstream and Black Panther, now they are, but they weren't always mainstream characters. Those are my two favorite Marvel solo characters, is Daredevil and Black Panther. That's if I had to collect only two characters from Marvel, I would collect Daredevil and Black Panther. The only mainstream DC one that's, well, I love a lot of DC. DC, man, has just got so many characters that I'm attached to. But like my favorite DC character, who's gonna be? It's OMAC by Jack Kirby. But I love Dan DiDio's version of OMAC too, drawn by Keith Giffen and Scott Koblish. Oh my God, I loved it. Very Kirby-esque. So like, yeah, I'm different. Very different. And I'm proud of it. I don't care if I'm not in the majority. I am kind of desensitized to superhero movies, and Eternals felt different, and that's why I think I enjoyed it like more than most. It felt different to me. It felt global. It felt bigger. It felt like complex. It felt like there was no good or bad, that there just was. And no matter what size you choose, you could have valid points. It was like a political argument you can't win. It was very weird. But anyway, I'm gonna get into the weekly reads, and then I'm probably gonna read some. The next Geek Brunch is focused on Antarctic Press comics. So I have to read Planet comics and horror comics and exciting comics, all based on Golden Age titles, but kind of like anthologies. At least exciting comics is. And that so far is my favorite, but I haven't gotten to Planet comics yet. So that's let's kick off the weekly reads. Some of them are very wordy because I've been putting a lot of details in the Spider-Man and Captain America issues. Excuse me. So let's go to the other thing that really bothers me is sometimes my mind just like wanders, like in the back of my mind, I keep thinking about my neighbor. Like, well, there's the neighbor that I told you about that got the COVID. Well, he's off oxygen. He looks normal now, which is great. He was on oxygen like from July to December, and that now I think he's back to normal. But there's another neighbor that I don't talk to a lot, but he's been in this cul-de-sac as long as we have been with his wife. And the most I do is I wave, wave to them. His wife is always running, so I see him, and he rides a bike, and he was a mechanic, but he's sort of retired mechanic. He had an accident of some sort and then kind of stopped being a mechanic. But I don't talk to them much. A matter of fact, I'm very introvert. I know very little neighbors. I don't always go stop at the mailbox and talk to them. I wave and I be friendly when I'm friendly, but most of the time I drive into my garage, close my garage, and then I'm in my house. And always been like that. The one neighbor that did get COVID is probably my closest neighbor that we've ever had. In that house, there, you know, they've there's been like four people that live there since it was built. Oh, I forgot that. Yeah, the people in that house have always been good to us because we had another couple in there that was really great before he moved in. And but other than that, I don't really associate with neighbors, but it kind of like today I went out there and I just waved at him and I said, "How are you doing?" And I don't think he heard me, but then he replied, because I think he's hard of hearing, much worse than I am. And he said, "I don't know if you heard, but my wife got a stroke." And I'm like, "Holy shit." And she's been in the hospital since this summer. And I'm like, "Oh my God." So in the back of my mind, I always think like people are going through some shit right now, like awful, awful stuff. And that is like the worst thing ever to not know if your wife's coming back home or if she's been there since summertime. In the hospital, and I'm like, oh my God. And then with COVID and stuff, it just amplified, everything's amplified. If there are follow-on surgeries, things are amplified, so you don't really get them unless they're critical. And yeah, it throws me off. So in the back of my mind, I have that in my head right now, and I gotta tell Barb about that when she does get home. But let's get Getting old sucks. It really does. And when I run into things like that, I'm like, my mind starts racing and it starts thinking, like, in my world, I need to retire soon because I don't know how much left I have on this planet and I want to do things. I want to read more. I want to explore more. I want to do things that I can instead of like working, you know, long hours, getting home, get to eat dinner, watch a show, and then go to bed, and then rinse and repeat. I want to be able to control. Like it's so weird. I just gotta find out more because I want to retire early. I want to retire in a couple of years, and I want to go back home to my parents and spend more time with them. And be able to leave at weeks at a time and not worry, oh, I have to come back to work or my vacation is out. I could, if I want to go visit them and stay there for a month, I want to be able to do that. So yeah, things change. But let's get into the week of December 13th of 2021 to 12/19/2021, and this was getting close to my vacation, and there were quite a bit of books, and there was two movies. We went to the theater. We haven't been to the theater in a while since Spider-Man: No Way Home. House of Gucci and Nightmare Alley, both 4 out of 5s. Really, really good. Nightmare Alley is kind of like a Twilight Zone episode, but in a almost a 2.5 hour movie. It's a little longer than you'd want it to be, but it's really well done and really well told, and I really liked it. And a matter of fact, if you want to try Nightmare Alley, I think it's available on two services. If you have either service, I'd highly recommend it. It's on Hulu, I think, and HBO Max. So give that a try. And then the other movie that I really liked, could be one of my favorites of the year, is House of Gucci. I gave it a 4 out of 5, but it's borderlining on 5 out of 5. I wasn't crazy about seeing it, but I was aware of what happened to the Guccis through MTV News and all that stuff. And the movie was really well acted, really well told, and I remembered a lot that actually happened. So it was fun to watch that film. And as far as that week, there were only 26 comics. I always keep telling you I'd like to hit 30. I'd like to hit 30. But I do have quite the write-up, so let's get to them. We have Vault, had one really crazy distribution. Scout had one. There were four Marvel comics, one Image, three IDW, one Boom, nine DC, one Dark Horse, one CEX. That stands for Comics Experience, but it's spelled like sex with the C in front. Blood Moon, a brand new publisher, AWA, Archie, and Ablaze. So let's get to the. I remember what this week was. I was trying to read a lot of number ones because I was trying to cut down my weekly spending. And I told you why. I had to get another storage unit. So if I'm going to pay that much more for a month for a storage unit, I have to decrease my payout cost for that storage unit. So I reduced my monthly bill by that amount, which was quite a bit because it's an indoor storage unit. But we have three out of fives. Two of these books I actually decided to discontinue. A three out of five to me means I like it. I was entertained, but I wasn't really I didn't really like it, which is a four out of five. And a five out of fives, I love it. So I thought, well, these two that are at the bottom, I can probably do away with. I do have a couple more Lunar Rooms that arrived, but Lunar Room number one, this is a werewolf that used to work for the mob, is retired, but gets involved with a young warlock in a fight club. If you heard that, you're like, that sounds fucking badass. But I didn't care for the execution, and my worry is the knowing my personality and knowing that I have issue two, if I read this and issue two draws me in into a four out of five, that I'll go back and get the others because I'm crazy like that. The next one is Buckethead number one. This is a Boom. I think it's an all ages Boom. Wasn't too crazy about this one. This was Toba and his mother, who's a renowned scientist, have immigrated to the US. But instead of living in the big city like Toba always dreamed, they moved to a sleepy small town in the Pacific Northwest called Buckhead. In the middle of a picturesque and pedestrian town, Toba discovers the things aren't perfect as they seem. He and his newfound friend start playing strange video game that looks like a perfect replica of an ancient Benin and its people. I don't even know what Benin is, but I think it's a type of people. Soon Toba is on the run from the frightening men in black. I don't know what I meant by that. Trying to solve the mystery of his new hometown and save his friends before it's too late. That also sounds like a good premise, but I wasn't feeling it. I didn't not like it. I enjoyed what I read, but it didn't light my ass on fire. So I discontinued that one. The next one I gave a 3 out of 5. I thought it was gonna, what I wanted it to be wasn't what it was, but it was Snake Eyes Dead Game Declassified. And it kind of was like that, but what I wanted to see is it kind of gave me like the black and white version of, okay, here's Rob's drawing and here's the inked version, but it was mostly the inked version over Rob's drawing in black and white. What I wanted to see was Rob's drawing raw, like raw before it was inked. And then here's what it was afterwards. So Plus, it was just more like a process book, showing you how the lines are inked, which was kind of fun if you love that, but it wasn't really a story. So I gave that a 3 out of 5. And I love Rob, so I'm still glad I have that in my collection. Daisy number one. This one I think is gonna grow on me, so I didn't discontinue it. But it's a story about a giant girl and her relationship to gods. A mother goes to a small town looking for her missing son, and the cop blows her brains out in front of Daisy, who's that tall giant girl. There's a young man with a yellow and blue eye, which is very strange. It's hard to understand with the exception of the mother looking for her son, but there's something compelling that makes you want to come back to it. Sometimes it's so weird that you're drawn to something, and I was. And then the last 3 out of 5 is Lady Mechanica, the monster of the Ministry of Hell. I have liked Lady Mechanicas in the past. This is an image one. Lady Mechanica is at an affair with her scientist friend and his sickly daughter. He is concerned his daughter has the muscular disorder his wife had, which sort of led her to die, and he is being punished by God because he worked for a bad man. So he thinks his wife died and his daughter's sick because of it's karma that he actually worked for a bad dude. There is a strange creature that looks like a young lady Mechanica that is like a monster being worked by scientists. It's hard for me to tell if this is a flashback or another character entirely. And I think that's why I rated it a 3 out of 5 and not a 4 out of 5. I was confused if I was jumping in time back to somebody manipulating Lady Mechanica, or if it was an entirely new character. And my confusion is why I rated it a 3 out of 5 rather than a 4 out of 5. Joan Benitez is a great artist, and he writes well. That's his baby. That one I'm staying with. Got 4 out of 5s. Justice League 59 through 61. The Justice League forms and has Black Adam join along with Naomi to go after Brutus at his homeworld. Brutus has a strange connection with Naomi. The Justice League Dark Team, which is the backup feature, is gathering after the loss of Wonder Woman to go after Merlin. That's Merlin from King Arthur days, not the. I think there's a Merlin Archer. Not the one that fights Green Arrow. We have Archie's Holiday Magic Special number one. This was one of those $2.99 Archie specials. Archie is told by Reggie and Veronica that Santa is not real, but his father convinces him otherwise. Jughead gets into the lot case eating. I don't even know what a lot case is. I think it's like a potato thing, but eating a contest, and Archie comes back to Riverdale in the future, and the girls are still after him, fighting over him. It was fun. I always like enjoying an Archie comic book, especially more in the classic form than the modern form, like Riverdale changed him into a more serious form and the horror Archie. We have X-Force 21 through 23. The Xeno Man-Thing virus starts targeting the allies of the mutants, and that's not good because those are humans that are pro-mutant. The doctor that created Manslaughter was manipulated to th thinking the mutants killed his wife. The Beast needs Black Tom to take out a small man that went into his ear. X-Force is a title that I'm going to continue. I'm cutting back on some of the X titles as they rename. And Marauders, which is my favorite, might be on the chopping block because it changed writers. But I did buy the annual today at the LCS just to see if Steve Orlando's annual does it for me, and if it doesn't, then I'm not going to continue. Soul Plumber 1 through 3. This is a DC horror. It's not really scary. It's one of those crazy titles that you're like, how did this get published? But it's crazy good. All of these ones since Justice League are a 4 out of 5. A loser of a guy who is really religious and works for Come and Go, which is spelled differently than the Come and Go that's in Colorado Springs and out west, discovers a document that shows him how to build a soul machine. His first attempt kills his crazy friend, who was always like lurking around at the Come and Go, and he would always try to get him. He was a homeless man that had like Tourette's and was always yelling and threatening other workers. He was there to help him, and defend him. But now he kills his crazy friend by accident. His other because he puts him on this soul machine, because somebody convinces him this soul machine will heal people, like one of those evangelical guys, is what convinces him. But there's something to this soul machine. His other vet friend helps him get rid of the body. Now he is hunted by the church, who would not let him in to begin with. But it's a if that sounds weird, it is weird. But it's very entertaining if you like weird stuff. Laura number two, I liked more than Laura number one because I got more into the story. This is Gilliam March writing and doing art, and I love Gilliam March. Laura's friend is always trying to trick her into going out with other guys. We find out she is a virgin and does not agree to go on a trip where they might finally get over her lover. Well, actually, it's was her best friend that she fell in love with and kissed, named Marcos, but Marcos has a girlfriend. So it's like a drama, slice of life book. And if you like that kind of thing, Laura would be there. If you love Gilliam March, you will love his art, as always. And he's a hell of a storyteller, I'll tell you that. If you don't like the subject matter, you still will enjoy his writing, I think, because he writes really well. And I don't know if it's because the translator translates it really well, because he's probably writing in another language and then somebody's translating it for him. But yeah, that's that. And then we have Snake Eyes, Dead Game 4 or 5, 4 and 5. Snake Eyes takes on Kurrigan and the daughter Olympia with the hammer of Thor. And then he has to fight off the Baroness and Destro. Baroness throws down with Olympia. Snake Eyes has his hammer broken by Kurgan's sword, but does find a way to win. It does have the classic G.I. Joe action figures in here as well, such as Atomic Man and Bullet Man. It was a hell of a lot of fun. Story by Rob Liefeld. I think Chad Bowers did the writing like over his story, and then our Rob did all the art, and issue 5 was one of those ones where it's really a great experiment. He drew like, and then Neil Adams would ink over him, or Murat Michaels would ink over him, or Thomas Scioli, or the kayfabe guys. They would come in and ink over his art. So it was just a lot of fun. Highly recommend it if you're into process. And inking, especially, because you don't see too much inking anymore. The next one is a 4 out of 5 as well, Space Corps. This series really worked for me. This is an alien invasion of Earth, and our main characters are placed in concentration camps. They are later freed and decide to join another alien race to fight for their freedom. We have Crimson Cage. That's the one from Comics Experience, or otherwise known as Sex. With the C, Seeks. We have Crimson Cage number one. This one should have been a 5 out of 5. I don't know why I get. I must have been a grouchy guy, but Chuck Frenzy is trying to make a name for himself in the wrestling circuit. One night he runs into a spirit that tells him he will be the best there is if he kills another wrestler. He has a plan to do so, but his conscience plays a part and he can't. Van Emmerich, the current champ, scripts a plan for him to become real popular, the wrestler Chuck Frenzy to become real popular, but lies to him, and it looks like he looks like a fool because he tells that to everyone he wrestles so that he could always stay on top. So that Van Emmerich guy, he's an asshole. But Chuck Frenzy, he felt for that. So if you're into wrestling and you're into that kind of drama, this is a really good. It has a little bit of supernaturalness to it too. We got the Devil Tree number one. This is from Blood Moon Comics. Two kids are killed by their mother when she seems possessed by a tree. Later, a fisherman finds the two bodies, but is the prime suspect of killing those two kids. He is in a dead-end marriage where his wife does not like him. Two police officers and a reporter are trying to figure out what is going on with this tree. It was very entertaining, and it's very weird, and it's very original, and I think that's why I like it. We have Captain America 308. Dr. Malice creates Armadillo to go out get Goliath at the West Coast Avengers compound in exchange for healing his wife. Cap stops him, and Malice then turns him over to the police. The Beyonder watches and recreates himself as Steve. This is like a Secret Wars 2 tie-in. Sidewinder recruits Anaconda, Black Mamba, and Death Adder. So you got the Serpent Society starting to grow in size. And we have Jonah Hex number 20. This is how Jonah's father left him as a child and betrayed him to robbing his robbing partners later in life. Pretty sad for Jonah. You can see he never had a good father. And his father now is he's not very redeeming, and there's nothing to like about him. We have the 5 out of 5s we got from Scout Comics, Third Wave 99. A young trouble kid is trying to learn how to surf and almost dies. He is rescued by his employer who works at a surf shop. That's why he's trying to learn to surf. He is a troubled kid though. He's usually in trouble, and his employer is sympathetic to his cause and trying to get him on the straight and narrow. He gets frustrated and is later beaten up by guys, that pick on him. And his boss saves him. We later learn that his boss may be in a witness protection program, and then that there are people after him. It was a really cool story. For fans of Point Break, I think you'll like this. We got Black Hawk 265. This was an incredible issue. Chop Chop is still feeling like he is really not part of the team. Chuck tries to figure out what is wrong with him and remembers an incident with an artist drawing a racial cartoon and figures out Chop Chop was never given a uniform. It's so weird though. The Blackhawks are still searching for Professor Merson, who now has the bats in tune with the Blackhawk planes, and they're every time the Blackhawks get in the air, he'll turn on these bats and they'll cause trouble with the engines and everything 'cause there's and mess them up. No crash. They trace the money in Switzerland to, and Andre seduces the one of the bank clerks to find out where he is hiding. That's Professor Merson, who's working for the Nazis. Chop Chop flies the glider where he is trying to show off his plane to a beautiful woman. No, that's not Chop Chop Chop. Chop Chop flies the glider into the castle and blows it up, and they capture the professor. Chop Chop's real name is Wu Sheng, and finally he gets a Black Hawk costume. So, but he gets the Black Hawk costume only to leave because he has to go to China to help his people. There is a Chuck story where he is trying to show off his plane to a beautiful woman and the plane gets stolen. There's a character who's selling the parts. Him and Chuck and they MacGyver a plane to take out a Nazi plane that was going to take on the out the Blackhawks. We have Hawk World number one. This is the prestige format, square bound, that came out roughly after Dark Knight and Adam Strange and all those square bound type books. Carter joins the Thangorian police force and finds out they are treating aliens of the lower levels unfairly. He is tricked by Byth, who's the main villain of this story, to kill his own scientist father. Imagine that. And he's then sentenced to prison for the killing his father, who was well thought Thanagarian. He actually invented the wings that the Hawkmen use. When he gets out to f and finds an Earth girl who took the identity of the dead Shiera because her father adopted her when his own daughter was killed in a terrorist act. It comes down to Blythe, who is hooked on drugs and can morph into strange creatures. He gets away at the end. Oh crap, that wasn't just Hawk World 1, that was Hawk World 1 through 3. I read the entire thing, and I need to give myself two more DCs, which makes the DC 11, and that makes a total of 28 comics, which means I almost made the 30. So, just as a summary, the 5 out of 5s that week, that means I loved them, were Third Wave 99, number 1 from Scout Comics, Black Hawk 265, an older issue from DC Comics, and from DC Comics, Hawk World 1 through 3. So then that takes us to December 20th through December 26th. You're going to see I only read 8 comics, but I watched a hell of a lot of movies and TV. So let's start with the TV. The 3 out of 5 was the only movie that I've watched on the app because Barb bought, what is it called? Is it A&E Plus? AMC Plus. And I can't cast it, so I ended up watching it on my iPad while we were in Albuquerque. And it was a shark movie, Great White. And I do like shark movies, so I like this one. It was entertaining, but it was a 3 out of 5. We then get to the 4 out of 5s. We had Ice Road. That was a cool movie with Liam Neeson. They're ice road truckers, and they get involved in all kinds of shit. That was fun. 8-Bit Christmas was on HBO Max with the Doogie Howser guy, Neil Patrick Harris. And it's a story about him and his daughter, and he's telling a story kind of like you don't always get what you want for Christmas. And it turns out to be a really cool story. This one involves the him trying to get a Nintendo, and it's a lot of fun. We have Unforgotten. That was a Sandra Bullock Netflix movie. That was really good. That's about a girl that I don't want to give that one away, but she gets out of prison for a murder, and she really didn't commit the murder. But you'll see what how that plays out. The Marksman, another Liam Neeson movie. That was really good. That's about him trying to protect a kid from Mexico that crosses the border with his mom, but his mom gets killed, and the Mexican mafia is after them. Well, we got Playing with Fire. This is has the Peacemaker star in it, and it's about fire jumpers that jump, smoke jumpers that jump into fires and help put out fires in forests. It's a comedy. They rescue some kids, and then it becomes like we got to take care of these kids. But it's really cute, and I watched it with my family. My wife texted me, probably leave at 6:30 to make up some time. What did you decide? What did I decide for what? Decide for what? I don't know what she's talking about. Food? Oh, Carl's Jr. The big Carl. That's what we'll go with. The big Carl with zucchini instead of fries. I don't like Carl's Jr. fries for some reason. So we talk about playing with fire, and then the five out of fives. I watched 3 seasons of Sex Education on HBO. Was this HBO Max or Netflix? It was on Netflix. I like to tell you where it is in case you're interested in anything. Playing with Fire was on Hulu. The Marksman, I think, was on Hulu. Ice Road was on Netflix. 8-Bit Christmas was on HBO Max. Unforgotten was on Netflix, and Great White was on AMC Plus. So, 3 seasons of Sex Education. I became addicted during the break of this. I had all the intention to read another Stephen King novel during the Christmas break, but I became obsessed with this show. And anytime I was at my mother-in-law's house, I was watching episodes of that. The Liam Neeson movies, I was watching with my stepfather, not stepfather, but my in-law, father-in-law, and I watched with my parents Playing with Fire, The Marksman, I think Unforgotten I watched with them, and 8-Bit Christmas. So I watched a lot with my family. And I watched Ice Road with my father-in-law, and Great White I watched by myself, and Sex Education I watched by myself. I love this thing. This is like a British school, and it's about a kid that has a mother as a sex therapist, played by Julian Anderson, and he actually becomes a sex therapist because he listens to his mom a lot, so he knows how to handle a lot of situations. So I absolutely loved it. It's like a comedy, but it's very serious, and deals with serious situations, and you grow to love almost every character that's in the show or feel sympathetic for even characters that you hated at the beginning. Needed a drink of my Dr. Pepper. So that it'll take us. That was the five out of five. Was 3 seasons of Sex Education. That was, and they're almost like 55 minutes each. And I think there were 12 episodes. I watched a. There were 8 episodes, I think. But that's 24 hours of TV. That's a lot of TV just with that one show. So it might have been 10 episodes. I don't remember. I think it was 8 episodes per season. But there's going to be a fourth season, so I'm happy about that. I found out about that show from just a small comment on the Bright Side chat. One of the guys, the one that owns the comic store, had mentioned it just in a couple sentences, and I said, that sounds interesting. And I absolutely loved it. So the comic-wise, there was only 8 comics read. One was more than one comic because it's a trade paperback, but I only counted it as one. So there's one Marvel, one DC, 5 Comixology, 1 Archie. You can see heavily on the iPad. The 3 out of 5 was Archie Comics 80th Artist Spotlight on Harry Lucey. Trade paperback, and that was just a bunch of cool stories by a particular artist. I enjoyed it quite a bit. The 4 out of 5s were Black Hawk number 1, Blood and Iron. I have not read this since it first came out, but this was a prestige format, and during this time they were prestige formatting it. After Dark Knight was a hit, they were like, okay, let's do Adam Strange, let's do Black Hawk, let's do Hawk World, all kinds of different stories came out of that. But Black Hawk, Blood and Iron, it really comes down to I didn't enjoy this as much as I did when I was younger, but I think when I was younger, I was so infatuated with the fact that the villain was getting a blowjob by his secretary. And it now that I read it the second time, I was like, it's so implied. It's not even, which means as a kid, my mind went wild. Like it just envisioned this, like, oh my God, it's the first viewing of a blowjob on a comic book. But it's really only like a panel, and it's all implied. Like you just see her under a desk, and the guy walks in, and he's talking while she's still under the desk. But it wasn't even integral to the story. I at some point I gotta finish the three prestige format, and just see if I remember liking it as much as I did when I read it at the time. We Kill Each Other. This one is, I think, a Stephanie Phillips comiXology. I enjoy this one, but I didn't remember it other than it's gangsters talking to Nazis. They're taking on the Nazis. So it's like bad guys taking on bad guys for the good of the United States. That sounds a lot like The Rocketeer, doesn't it? From a little bit, but it was pretty good. I give it a 4 out of 5, along with Black Hawk. Geiger number 6. This was the finale of the first arc of Geiger by Geoff Johns. Geiger and the two kids escape the facility, and Geiger has to fight like a GI robot looking character. Really entertaining. I think the next comic that comes out for Geiger is going to be an 80-page giant special. Night of the Ghoul. This is the Francesco Francavilla story. I can't remember who. I can't remember if he writes it and does the art, or if there's another writer and he's just doing the art. I think he just might be the artist, but I can't remember the writer. This is the story of a man and his son trace down an old man to a retirement care facility to find out about a movie. This guy was like a director, and he created a movie. And this was about a movie he never released, and he wanted to go find out more about it. And all hell breaks loose. We got Lucky Devil number 2. This is the Cullen Bunn second issue. Our main character has the power of a demon in him and is using it to form a cult around him. That was from Dark Horse. And I didn't write that one down. So let me take credit for another book I forgot. I read 9 books. Dark Horse 1. So there were 9 books I read that week. That was the only physical copy I read. I think I read that before we left for Albuquerque. Captain America 309. This is the crazy origin of Madcap. Nomad becomes his own man. Steve leaves his job. He actually quits. They wanted to retain him, even though he fucked up and didn't turn in his work. The Serpent Society is growing in the roster. We have Clears, the 5 out of 5. This is from comiXology. Clear. Who wrote this? I think it might be Scott Snyder again. In the future, virtual reality takes over people's lives, and one detective tries to find out who killed his ex-lover. A really cool story. I really liked it. Completely enjoyed it. Matter of fact, I have to go back and finish that. It's probably got issue 3 and 4 out right now. So the 5 out of 5s were Clear, number 1 and 2. So that's it. I want to thank you for joining me. This was kind of an ad hoc episode. I wanted to do one because I was falling so far behind on these weeks. And let's see, I still need quite a ways to go. I am 5 weeks behind. I like to be like 2 weeks behind, so. I got a long way to go. I'm not going to do any more tonight, but I'll try again next Friday to do two more. And eventually, if I can do two, I'll eventually catch up by 1 week every week until I'm the 2 weeks behind. So that's the plan. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank those people that are on Twitter that retweet the show and like it. I think when you do that, it helps it show up on more people's timelines to see if they want to try it. I know competition for pod, everybody's a podcaster now, so it's like I'm not going to get much listeners. Matter of fact, I'll probably decrease in listenership almost every year because there's so much competition and everybody's time is precious, so it's like that is what it is. And I'll still keep doing it because I like the friendships that I form. And like I said, this is a personal one for me. It's like a weekly diary to go over things and talk about things. And sometimes it helps to talk things through. And for me personally, this podcasting by myself about issues I've read helps me retain what I read because it's kind of hard when you read so much and to remember everything that happened. And it's a good mind exercise, by the way, to try to remember everything you read at the end of the week and summarize it. Especially the ones that you're just not crazy about. The ones that are 5 out of 5s, they're not hard to remember. The ones that are lower 3 out of 5s, they become quite tough. Sometimes that I have to open up the Mylar again and see what they're all about. So you can reach me at Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch or send email to mike@comicbooknoise.com. The podcast is on geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can find my DC podcast at dcpodcast.com. Those podcasts are DC Everything Else and DC Spotlight. The ones that you'll find on Geek Brunch are Mike M's Weekly Reads, Geek Brunch, and Geek Brunch Retro. I had some other shows on there, but for the time being, they're on sabbatical until I can find more time in my life, which may not be for a while. But thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. I hope you have a good week. Bye.